Lime, duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. Whoa, hey, we're comedians that dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. Black, a.k.a. Now shake those hips. Dunsky Black Amora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling. A.k.a. Donnie Capri from that time I went to Italy.
No more Mr. Nice Jew.
A.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof Haraja, coming at you like Cleopatra. Baby, baby,
gabba gabba, gabba, gabba wee, gabba gabba, gabba wee, gabba gabba, gabba,
yeah,
gabba, gabba, gabba,
yeah,
gabba,
yeah, 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 yeah. This girl, she's mine. And hum damn,
give me a smile.
She's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We're back in action after a beautiful, spicy, spicy SummerSlam. And we're back in action for your satisfaction with all of our wrestling reactions. And before we get into it, because there's a lot to cover this week, many would say too much to cover. Man, if you want to support this podcast, if you're listening to this podcast every week, and some of you are, and you're not supporting this podcast, reconsider your life, Daddy. Go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Throw us a couple bucks each month. Help support the gang here and how we Zoom it. Help support the Zoom stream and the pod. But we're not asking for handouts. We never are. We are offering dope bonus content over on the Patreon, including the Cal Movie Club, where me and Aaron dissect movies with professional wrestlers in them to an unhealthy degree. This week's episode coming out a little late because when we have pay-per-views, that cuts into our movie watching schedule, right, Aaron?
Truth. Facts.
Right. Not to mention I was on a little bit of vacay. So coming out later this week, probably about what, Thursday?
Probably about like tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday morning. One day behind.
Be doing our movie dissection of Changeland, the Seth Green movie, but more importantly, starring the king of the quarantine, the king of 2020, the Viper, Randy Orton.
Yes.
That'll be our second Orton movie.
Yeah, my first.
Your first.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I'm a first timer.
So we'll see how that goes. So check that out every mostly Tuesday night, but we'll have Payback next week. So we might have a delay of the Cow Movie Club next week as well over on Patreon.
Yeah,
but
to be determined.
Absolutely, TBD. But also, we have AEW NXT-centric bonus episodes every week with me and Nick Tulo, the Supermark. Those come out on Friday morning, but this week it's out right now. It's out right now because there's so much to talk about. We're talking about TakeOver 30, AEW, and anything we don't talk about here on the main episode. So if you want an extended conversation, go over to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. And also, if you're a news junkie, check out the Regular Guy News on the Dan Black Attack podcast, my satellite podcast. Me and Aaron are talking this week about QAnon. What the fuck is QAnon?
Have you recorded that? Have you recorded it yet?
We have. Why, you got something to say?
I got everything to say about that.
I mean, we could do it. Well, we could do a Newman QAnon app. You want to pop in?
Newman.
I mean,
Newmanon. We could do the Newmanon.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to hear an hour of me making disparaging remarks about people's mental health, then
Wow.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We also talked about what happens if Trump is not reelected and doesn't leave office. So check that out. Decides to not leave office, how that would actually go down. It's pretty fucking interesting. Check it out on the RGN, the Regular Guy News, the least pretentious name in news. We are just some regular folks dissecting it to an unhealthy degree. Anyway, let's get into the fucking spice of wrestling. To my down, he's a nasty, nasty boy, a nasty gentleman.
Welcome to How About a City, bitch.
Woo. All right, to my diagonal, as always, the first lady, Erin Finnerty.
What up?
And joining us over from the bonus episode, he is the Supermark, and if you're watching the Zoom video, you can tell he's in all Oscar gear, the holder of the Cal Money in the Bank briefcase, Mr. Nick Tulo.
Hold on a second. I can't breathe. What up?
So you're wow. wearing an Oscar t-shirt by official Cal artist Lauren Moran. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Everyone could check out your Chris D'Elia tattoo on your forearm. Yeah.
Make sure no, it's all good.
That's there.
that age super well, by the way. Well,
not well at all.
Man. It's all right. Life rips, bro.
It does.
But you got the Oscar t-shirt. It looks amazing. And you were wearing an Oscar mask, like the one she wears down to the ring, but underneath it, a protective COVID mask. That was correct. Also Oscar print.
Yeah, it's actually the same as the mask. It's the same thing. So,
wow.
Pretty special.
When are you turning that tattoo into a cow tattoo? I mean, come on.
That's,
why don't you turn that into the briefcase?
So here's the funny thing. I got this tattoo when I came out to L.A. and recorded the pod.
Turn it into a Velveteen Dream tattoo.
Yeah, even better. Yeah, or a Matt Riddle one.
Well, yeah.
Wait, sorry. What were you saying?
So I got this tattoo right before COVID happened. I got life rips like before a pandemic. And, you know, some things are.
And then life
rests in peace.
Yeah, it had little periods between the ones.
Life rips
in peace.
Oh, man. Taker's the man. man, all right, so let's get into all the wrestling spiciness because it was a big week. But I will open it up on a similar sentiment and say we always talk about the ebbs and flows, the cycles of the mark of the wrestling business. Mm-hmm. And I had a week, you know, that they're always marked by me texting all of you guys on the group chain saying, I love wrestling. It rules.
Yeah.
Something where I have a moment where I'm like, I'm so glad that that happened when I was watching the Cody match this week. And I was like, man, I've watched I've had such a busy week, but I somehow and busy, I mean, like, on vacation with the wife. Like, hard to watch wrestling week. Not busy, like, doing anything. This is 2020.
Yeah.
I somehow eke out, like, a hot 12 hours of wrestling a week. I find 12 hours somehow every week. But, like, it's kind of amazing. I watched AEW, I think, last of all the stuff I watched. And it was just, like, got to that Cody match, which we'll talk about later. But I was like, how the fuck, after all the wrestling I watched, did I say, like, that I still appreciate this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it was booked in a way where I was like, they reinvigorated me. I was like, that was awesome. But we'll get into all that. How are you guys feeling about wrestling in general, the state of wrestling? How you feeling? You having fun?
Had a really fun time on Sunday.
Yeah.
Feel free to be negative.
That's for sure.
Feel free to be negative. No, it's 2020.
It's just a lot.
Negativity is the new positivity.
It's a... No, I mean, wrestling's fine. It's fine. It's what a TV show that we like. It's a TV show that we all like. It's fine. Wrestling's fine.
No, man, whatever. Wrestling rips.
we should probably
change that tattoo to wrestling rips.
You know what I will and we should probably make that merch. That's some solid merch. That's a really solid wrestling merch.
Yeah, Dalia can't afford to give a cease and desist these days.
Yeah.
It's a tombstone. It's just Dalia 2020 on it. Oh man, all right. I don't know anything about that situation. I don't know Chris D'Elia, whatever.
This was fun.
But yeah, anyway, I had a great time. But I think one thing I'll say is that let's start talking about the Thunderdome in general. So this is our first podcast where we saw it on Friday, then we saw it on SummerSlam and Raw. So we've seen it a couple times, but this is the first time we're talking about it. But I would say the Thunderdome is as awesome as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I think that, yes, it's not as good. It's not as good as having everyone in the arena. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. It's not as good as live wrestling. Nothing's going to beat when, like, Seth Rollins does a fucking baseball dive and the wall moves. You know what I mean? Like, nothing's going to beat that. But – and there's fans right there. But it has made the WWE product – feel like the WWE product again, successfully. Mm-hmm. I think.
I agree.
Right, like it's the same entrance again, and it made a big difference. It made me in my head go like, I cannot believe how long they stayed in the Performance Center.
Yeah.
So I felt like that. I also thought that the, I said when I was watching it, it felt like watching trashy Black Mirror. I was like white trash Black Mirror, but I felt like the pyro in the middle of the seats was fucking awesome.
Right. Yeah. Right? It comes down like in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, like when Drew's pyro is just like the seats go up, and then it's like when someone enters, all the seats become extra new, like extra pieces of the Titantron.
Cool. Yeah.
It's all awesome. I don't know why it's called the Thunderdome. I think it's completely unnecessary. It's just like the WWE set with some
tweaks. Because WWE is addicted to just taking IP from other people and using it as their own.
So do they have to pay to call it the Thunderdome, I imagine?
No. Probably. I think in if they had done it properly, probably, but they probably just called it the Thunderdome and then would worry about the cease and desists if they came.
Right. Yeah. But there's probably a good chance that NBC owns it. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then NBC is like, we're not doing anything with the Thunderdome. Feel free to say it. Like, I'm sure Vince was like, get me an IP of, like, something cool that we could use, you know? Mm-hmm. Right. Plus, he's, you know, probably that, like, Rock's Titan show is doing well. So it's like, maybe tie it kind of into that. So, you know, because they have advantage of being a live show right now. So they're trying to get extra eyes on it. But I did think, like, it really works, and it elevates the WWE product. When I turned on AEW after watching three shows in a row of the Thunderdome, it made AEW look a little jank, I thought.
Yeah.
For the first time in the whole quar.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, the Performance Center is like a step below, but the Thunderdome is like a big step up from what AEW is doing.
And it got NXT back to feeling like NXT a little bit too, you know? Right. I mean,
it's
minus
take
the crowd.
A little time.
NXT, they're going to find something.
Yeah. And I agree with you. Like, NXT being back in Full Sail and it being, like, the only show in Full Sail makes it cooler. It's just going to take a little time for us all to heal from watching 6 months of every show in the PC, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. Right.
It did feel a little bit like it was a wrestling match happening in a Best Buy, though.
Right, with the TV department.
Wow, burying wrestling.
Ryan Lloyd also brought up a good point that, like, it's actually kind of almost tough to watch at points because there's so much going on that it kind of makes it a little dizzy.
Just a bunch of, like,
headaches. Yeah.
I don't know. So, like, I find it hard to even look at the faces. Like,
yeah.
If I were to look for one of you in the crowd, I wouldn't even try. Like, it's just like a sea of like white men for the most part with like neck beards and shit. So I'm like, it all just kind of,
So you just
nothing's really changed on that front.
But that's just their faces.
Yeah.
Aaron, that's a completely great point. I totally agree. They're unsuccessfully pulling off like seeing people in seats. Like,
yeah.
Right. Like the NBA, when you watch it, it's like you, but there's a gray chair
right.
that is like superimposed behind you. So it kind of, they rig it so you, it looks like you're sitting there a little bit. This is just like this yeah. on the screen, what so, we're doing now.
Have you guys Thunderdome. Seen what's going on where people are yep. throwing on like KKK outfits? Someone showed actual murder footage.
I missed the murder. Was it a live yeah. murder taking place?
So, like so live leak?
No. It's there was KKK outfit, comma, some live murder footage.
Okay, well, I'm asking, someone was murdered on camera no. while watching WWE?
No. So, like, apparently when I read it, it was like, you know, like fucking dark web video.
Yeah. I think yeah, it looked yeah. –
so someone posted – so you guys know, everyone knows, listen to this podcast, I'm in – the full swamp of wrestling pages on Facebook.
The dirtiest the of group. Sheets.
The yeah.
Group, yeah, the group.
The filth like, sheets.
I'm on never washed.
And I'm deep in the sheets. And this one guy, there's a couple people do this behavior. There's some guys who are in like a couple of groups that I'm in, and then I see what they do. They post something in all the groups, so it'll be in my Facebook feed, like in a row, the same guy posting in a couple groups that I'm in. Oh, but so yeah. he posted a video, and when you scroll, it auto plays, and it shows a zoom in of a murder, like someone's on their knees, and someone with a knife like goes to cut their head. It kind of has the feel of like one of those like terrorist execution videos.
Is it fake though? That seems like some early internet
it might
be fake snuff film.
Yeah, it might be fake. It might be fake. But anyway, it's not what you're supposed to do in the Thunderdome.
Right.
It's and like
also
so funny.
People are putting up messages. This is the last thing I'll say. They're putting up messages that are like Velveteen Dream. Fire Velveteen Dream. Yeah. Shit like that, too. So I'm just reporting all the stuff.
I mean,
look. Yeah, go.
No, you're good. No, good.
I was just going to say, like, it's just so funny, like, how there's no problems in the NBA or anybody else doing this. But you get to wrestling, and people can't control themselves.
Of
like,
course.
It's so sickening, the fucking fans that exist. Like, they exist in all things, but, like, the lengths wrestling fans will go to get attention and think that it's great is show murder happening.
Well, and also, I don't think that this should come as a surprise. If you compare the rules and regulations for Thunderdome versus that for the NBA bubble, NBA is just like no offensive or obscene behavior. But WWE, probably knowing their fan base a little bit more, was like no smoking, no offensive clothing, no third-party backgrounds clothing, nothing. You can't wear anything with an immoral image on it. Like, they had to get so specific. And I don't know. I just think, like, shouldn't there be, like, a little bit of a delay to TV where they can be like, let's cut the feed on. We saw this. Let's cut it. Like, I don't know.
There will be a delay. I don't think there should be, but there needs to be.
Shouldn't be. Yeah, that's tricky because it's like, well, they're recording the live reactions now to like Drew entering or whatever.
There so should
like,
absolutely be a delay.
But there should be a delay on the whole show to going live where they can be like, okay, screen number 72 had a guy with a KKK robe on. Cut it.
I think that they should – the people watching what we see on their screens should be on a 10-second delay. Pump in your fucking fake audience noise. It doesn't matter what the idiots on TV are just like looking, right? I don't need to see them reacting in sync. The sound was good enough, and then you have a chance to like catch that shit. WWE, if you're listening, hire me. I will look at all 300 screens at once and go, oh, shut that one down. You're like, shut that one down. How hard could that be?
All right. Well, you heard it here first, everyone. Noob is trying to fucking be the art director, the TV director.
Turn off number 15.
Okay, but look, whatever. Let's not focus. I don't want to focus forever on – we have so much wrestling to discuss the stupidity of wrestling fans. It's a fucking shame. Because you know how high I hold the art of pro wrestling, and the fans don't help all the time. A lot of great fans, many are good. They're, you know, I'm not gonna even do that. Okay, but the point is that I do think the Thunderdome has It's not perfect, but has reinvigorated the WWE product. Like, seeing Randy Orton up on the ropes in the fucking drizzle pyro, you know what I mean? It was like, oh, yeah, cool. It looks awesome. Seeing them enter in a way where the scale is that the set is bigger than them, it made a big difference. And plus, you know, as we've been riding, AEW's been riding high all summer. We've been saying their praises, but when you saw the Thunderdome, you saw the production value of the Thunderdome, and then you saw Randy and Drew, two fucking chiseled, jacked, hot fucking dudes in trunks, knee pads, and boots in the center of the ring, you're like, AEW doesn't even have a guy who could stand eye to eye with these guys, you know? And there's something to that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. So good for WWE in a way. I thought it was a big week. I'm more excited to watch it. Let's talk about SummerSlam in general, right? So let's start. Let's start with the Fiend winning the title back. Before we talk about the Roman's teeth interrupt, I think how do you guys feel about them throwing the title back on the Fiend after what happened last time? I didn't think they would do it. Because I just feel like he doesn't need it. Do you think that this is them writing it wrong about ever taking it off him? Where are you guys at?
I didn't need that to happen.
Right.
I stand by my pick that Strowman should have.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because Aaron, by the way, if you guys don't know this, we predicted on the podcast last week. All did our predictions. Aaron had every match correct until the main event.
But I was so indignant that they put the title back on the Fiend that I was like, good. I'm glad that this blew my streak.
You would have got the coveted sweatshirt upgrade, though.
It's fine. It's 100 degrees here.
That's true.
And I don't think they make youth sweatshirts. So
I live in L.A. I have like a fucking stack of sweatshirts, and I wear none of them.
I could show you my sweatshirts in this closet. It's like a whole stack. Can't wear any of them for 6 months.
I keep
you wear them for a weekend in October, and then it's over.
Right.
And I keep, you know, that our merch, I'll print sweatshirts for us. I keep buying sweatshirts like I live in an area where I need them. Although in LA, one thing I will say, people fucking rock sweatshirts and jeans like all the fucking time. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I love in the LA facts in the winter. I like how like you can see people in tank tops, but I'll be out walking with a parka on and there's no judgment. Like,
I can't believe it. It's so hot. But anyway, all right, we got to talk about the Fiend. So Aaron, you felt like you didn't want the title on the Fiend. Newman, Tulo, where are you guys at on Fiend being the Universal Champion again?
It's fine. it's clear that everything we're saying is true at the same time.
Right.
The Fiend doesn't need the title. Right. They know that. Therefore, they take it off of Braun, who does need the title, so that they can put it on Roman, because it doesn't matter if the Fiend loses. Because he doesn't need the title anyway.
Yeah.
Right, but doesn't it feel like Reigns beating Strowman was the way to go if they want him to have the title? I don't think they're going to give Roman the title right away, because based on the booking of it, I think – okay, we're jumping to Roman already, but I think that Roman came in pretty fucking aggressive, and I think they're going to play Roman – a little tweeny now. You know, I mean, I don't think they're ever going to have him go full heel, but I think they're going to play him like super angrier, more aggro. You know what I'm saying? Like more.
Well, his new t-shirt says wreck everybody and leave.
Right.
And
his new t-shirt. Did you say
his new t-shirt? t-shirt says wreck everybody and leave. So I'm wondering like, well, is that going to, since he doesn't, he has abstained from wrestling during the core so far. I'm wondering if maybe he'll just do a thing where he like comes in, beats someone, and bounces. Like doesn't spend a lot of time in the ring, grappling, doing the whole thing.
Yeah, I just want to say this about Roman. I'm just not a fan of Roman Reigns. And look, I don't want to waste more time on this pod. We've spent years on this point. I've lost years of my life on this and to this. But like him coming back felt nothing. I felt only upset. He's just has no charisma. I'm not trying to be negative. It's just that he does just truly nothing for me. He is such a dud.
Yeah. Yeah. You saying they jumped? Are you saying they jumped the gum?
But I think so. I'm just saying, like, what to end SummerSlam like that was not that exciting to me. But I do think, I will say, the thing that Roman can do is he can wrestle. He puts on good matches. It's the only thing we've said about him. He can go. I just find it a little fucking unfair that I know he has pre-existing condition, but it's like these other guys were like risking their fucking lives to fly in every single week before there was any testing or anything. And then Roman gets to just hang home, get in perfect shape, get fucking perfect teeth, and then he comes back, gets to interrupt the SummerSlam main event. It just always rubs me the wrong way. You know?
I actually kind of loved it. I was the opposite way. I thought it was the perfect spot for him. I thought he was away for 6 months, doing the right thing for his health and his safety. Right. He missed out on WrestleMania. Like, don't forget, that was Braun who took his spot at WrestleMania. Right. So, and not to mention, he's going against or going to probably be in a storyline with The Fiend, which has worked out pretty well for everybody. Look at Braun. Look at Daniel Bryan. Look at The Miz. Look at Seth. You just keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, maybe this is what we're – Bray's not going to let Roman get over on him and not have some kind of involvement in it.
That's I'm afraid of, is that he is going to get over on Bray because they love Roman so much. Yeah, like I feel like – So I was like, okay, so what, like Roman Reigns is going to be the man to beat The Fiend finally? Like, I don't, that
yeah, but he's already lost. The wrong way. So it's to me, it's not like really, I don't think he's going to win. I'd rather him lose and then we get the whole chase towards The Fiend thing.
So I'm just scared they're going to make Roman impervious to The Fiend, which...
Right.
Yeah.
And McMahon's razor, Newman's incredible theory. Mm-hmm. That's the shirt we need, the McMahon's razor theory.
Yeah.
Razor
Ramon style. Razor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, him coming back at the end of that match.
Confused. The back is not to be confused
by with Ackerman Razor.
Ackerman Razor.
Someone make that. We got enough people in this listening. Make that shirt, please.
Yeah, totally.
Roman coming back at the end of that match is a textbook example of McMahon's razor. To where an idea that they thought was going to be fucking killer was just like it's a perfect example of that, of the application of that.
Right. And but not only that, but like, sorry, the marketing for this whole pay-per-view was you'll never see it coming. And I was like, did we never see it coming though?
Great point.
Yeah, we never saw it coming except for the fact that
Roman Reigns is always here.
No, absolutely. You never see it coming made no fucking sense for this show. but that's funny because like WWE, they've lost all like credibility with me there where like they call it, you'll never see coming and I know to ignore it already. Like I know, I know it's just a catchphrase. Like I'm not expecting any balls of fire or anything. You know what I mean? but okay. So I'm just saying, I'm just not a Roman mark at all. That being said, that spear was fucking insane.
On The Fiend, the second one.
Right. He wrecked Bray there. And he looks to be in diesel shape.
And he looked really good.
And they have a cool opportunity here, which is, and I think we might be gearing up for it. It's extremely precedented to do what Tulo said, which is like he comes back. Reigns is back. He's doing his classic old bullshit, like all this shit. But Fiend gets in his head, fucks him up, and then he comes out in the trunks, and he's finally cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, there's a chance that Fiend Fiend throws him into the fucking the lake of rejuvenation or whatever.
The swamp of destiny.
The swamp of destiny. Is that what I called it? The swamp of destiny?
I think so. He
throws him into the swamp of destiny and then Reigns. It's worked. Strowman was awesome. That's why I'm shocked they took the title off of him, because I felt like Strowman, like monster Frankenstein Strowman, was fun, I thought. Now, yeah. I think what you do with Strowman is you have him put him back with The Fiend now, I think. I think he should be a disciple of The Fiend, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that's going to happen because the Strowman's debut was them ganging up on Roman Reigns specifically. So, you know, then again, I do not trust WWE to even remember that, let alone use it. But it's a fact. And so we're now back. You have The Fiend. You have Strowman back at his, like, monster thing. So now, if ever, would be the time to kind of connect those dots.
See, okay, so a couple things is I'll say one thing about – so Reigns looked awesome. I just want to say Bray. I thought Bray is – getting big again, I think. I think I'm starting to
looking
see
a little thick, right?
Looking a little thick, thick boy. Looking a little thick, and I just worry about it because he's. I felt like you saw him slow down a little in the match a little bit, but
I worry about him wrestling in the mask because when you see how much he is sweating behind the mask, it looks like there's like a water faucet pouring down his neck. And I'm like, that can't be good for your skin.
This guy's pumping out kids with JoJo. Yeah. I mean, we need him. We need this. He's a dad. We need this guy. But anyway, just because I love Bray and I hope he stays alive because I want to cast him in a movie. I'm such a big fan. But I will say, I think The Fiend is fucking firing on all cylinders right now.
Mm.
When he was on SmackDown, when he did the wave and then he disappeared to bail on Retribution, like I was like, this character is taking over that Taker spot. Like it is, it's working
for sure.
Yeah, when that match started between him and Strowman, I was like, I put this in the Facebook group, but it was like the nine-year-old me and 35-year-old me is really enjoying this right now.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because, like, he wears, like, the Freddy Krueger pants or whatever, and, like, he wears
his
like,
entrance.
His entrance. He's like,
in the Thunderdome is sick.
Yeah. The Thunderdome is cool with the teeth in the ceiling. I really like that.
The teeth in the ceilings look dope. And, Fiend is back. And I'm thinking about making a little bit of a reckless Murchis, which is if he brings up, do we think we see the Fiend's trap again, right? On Friday? We'll wear it around his neck? They put out the cheaper one. I think I gotta hold that, right?
Yeah, I think they should do.
That thing's never going on sale.
They need to do my suggestion, which is every time he beats somebody, it should be a belt with their face on it, not his.
I agree. Yeah. I agreed with that the first time. I think that it makes a lot of sense.
He might start doing that stuff because I think they had that Tom Savini, like they made a deal. Like, so they were trying to make a lot of money there. And it was probably in the contract with Tom. Like, we'll sell your memorabilia. You make us this mask and work on this character. Mm-hmm. So now they might be able to have more freedom on the second go around with the title. Because I was hoping he turns the title into the lantern.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you put like a light behind it. But we'll see what he does. Who cares? The Fiend, thing is that what they've done really well with Fiend, I feel like I got to give him credit, is Fiend can lose. Like, I think they've successfully skirted the whole monster thing. Now, it sucks when, like, Goldberg beat him because it's like, it's Goldberg. Like, you know they're just setting up for Mania. It's the same thing. They did the exact same booking on Kevin Owens before that Mania against Lesnar, right? They just, last minute, Goldberg pops in, takes the strap off somebody. Right, it serves nobody except Goldberg, who's gone, and 50.
Right,
you know, so but if Fiend's loses to Reigns, there's definitely a way to do that in a cool way, you know.
Right,
and I also think if we want to go back, and if you go back and listen to it, when they did the Hell in a Cell with Seth, if you look back now, it holds up now.
Yeah.
I think. For the where the character has gone,
the fact
that he would push you to even stop a Hell in the Cell. I don't think they effectively pulled off that booking, right? Because it wasn't like I don't think it was dangerous enough to stop a Hell in the Cell when guys get thrown off of it. But in theory, it was pretty good. I think
Seth should have pulled out a gun, put it to his head.
I love that.
Enough, end it.
Or his hammer that he comes out with. Like remember the fucking Fiend's not done anything cool with that hammer yet.
No.
No.
He borrowed it from Rowan, right? The Bludgeon Bros? He was like, let me get you a hammer, bro.
Oh, my God. Remember
those guys? Do you remember the fucking Bludgeon Bros? Tag
championships.
Oh, God. Tag championships in WWE are just – they're literally just toys.
Bludgeon Bros.
You know? The Bludgeon Bros. Anyway.
Kind of digging the Street Profits.
Other heavyweight match, which is Drew – beats Randy Orton clean with a baseball slide. Oh, no, with not a baseball slide.
A backslide.
A backslide, sorry. Baseball slide he does not do. But, yeah, with a backslide, I thought that was fucking smart booking. I loved that.
Yeah.
Old school win.
I kind of wanted Randy to win still, but yeah. it was cool that it wasn't like a schmoz and it was just like a straight up outmaneuvered him.
It pissed off a lot of people.
Randy's on fire. He came out on Raw, and you, like, forgot he lost the night before Connor, right? Like, he was just, like, top of his game again on Monday, I felt like. Who did piss off? Petullo, did it piss you off?
Well, you didn't get an RKO or a Claymore in that match. Neither. And those are the two things that people are clamoring for.
He went for the Claymore, right?
I actually almost nailed it because – the reason why I'm mentioning it is because Skyler was saying, like, and people in the chat were like, couldn't wait for an RKO when the Claymore was happening. And I was like, how is he going to hit the RKO? And I thought it was going to be a Miss Claymore, like, roll through and then reversal into the RKO. But we didn't get either one. We just got a backslide pin for the win. It's just like, damn, that's – but then we got three punt kicks on Monday Night Raw. Still haven't got an RKO or a Claymore on each other. So it's like –
right.
Wild.
Yeah. It's because they're trying to keep this feud going. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like the booking. I like him having to kick him in the head. Exactly. Having to kick him in the head three times in order to actually put him out. And then now Keith is like sliding in. You know, it's cool. It's fun how they transitioned that. Which is happening Sunday on Payback, which is wild.
Yes.
Payback. Yeah. Don't forget, you guys. This is actually the Payback Go Home episode of the podcast.
It is. It is. We're gonna have to do the picks for the Payback.
What happened there? Do they move SummerSlam?
No, I think they just.
I think they. I feel like Payback's usually later, right? So someone online, maybe I think in the group, said like, well, maybe they're having Payback back to back to. Offset some of the cost of the Thunderdome or something, get some more ad dollars or network signups. I don't know.
Thunderdome looks expensive as fuck. I actually think it looks a lot better than what the NBA is doing. Okay. That being said, let's move on to, we'll talk about Raw maybe a little bit, but I think that the Drew Randy match, it was good. I'm glad they let Drew retain. When did they add that sword sound before?
Yeah, I was just about to sing.
Is that new? I love it. I love Drew. I think that was great. I thought match of the night, Dominic versus Rock.
Yes, agree. And I would like to say something. Can I say something?
Tulo, you may.
I have a major announcement to make. Sammy Guevara. And it's that Dominic Mysterio is 100% one of my guys. And I'm getting in on this. I would like to.
You're buying low. Are you buying low?
No, I'm buying in from the get-go.
Wow, early adopter.
I would say that you might be in the first wave of Dominic marks.
Let me tell you something.
Put your money in your mouth. Did you buy the shirt? He's got a dope shirt out right now.
I'm going to get it. I'll get it for sure.
Right, I want to see
to prove it. Okay. But I'll get it. I'll order it right after this. But kid, I knew it.
If you buy a piece of merch right now, I'll buy a piece of merch.
Fine. You guys should all be
buying me a piece of merch.
We have to buy Aaron Herr merch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we are. All right. What were you saying, Tulo? Sorry.
But he's just fucking – I knew he was going to kill it. Like, I just felt it. And this was the match I was looking forward to.
Holy motherfucking shit.
Exactly those words. And he just delivered, man. He looked like he's been doing this forever. And kudos to Seth because – you know they must have worked their asses off to make that look good. And Dominic being able to go one-on-one with Seth and put on a
– good for you.
Yep, put on a 20-minute match is sick.
The match was long, right? The match was really long.
But it had so many amazing elements to it. Ray being there and Buddy and I just, my favorite moment was, and I told you guys about it, was right when right before Dominic hits the frog splash, you can hear Seth go, "Frog splash, buddy, frog splash." And I just was like, oh my God, that's right. So awesome, man. He's like,
he had his back.
He's yeah. So pumped for him to get up there and go do that frog splash on him. And he connected, like,
that's cool.
Kudos, yeah, that's awesome. Kudos to both of them, man. They fucking killed it. And if you didn't like that match, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
That was a lot of fun.
And the interesting thing, too, to me is, like, normally I don't – like, I feel like if it was just, like, a random episode of Raw and for some reason Rey Mysterio, like, his family was involved and they used his – like, the wife coming out, and I wouldn't have been as interested. But for some reason in this match, like, the usage of, like, Rey and I'm sorry that I don't know – Mama Mysterio's
Angie.
Name.
Angie
Mysterio.
Mysterio.
Angela Mysterio. The way that they used them worked so well to like show how evil Seth is and like really kind of drive home that like Dominic is just a boy trying to stand up for his family. I thought it knocked it out of the park, I think.
Newman, you guys are all right. Like the whole thing worked, and it's funny because Dominic always works. Like, remember Lesnar beating the shit out of Dominic? Like, beating the shit
out of Dominic. Took that out of shit.
Like, am I wrong? Like, Dominic?
Yeah.
When they did Lesnar Mysterio? Like,
he's a good sympathetic figure. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also like, it is something about Dominic because they've done other angles with, like, other kids before. Like, it's something Rey and Dominic, like, it's that family. It's endearing, you know? And also props to Seth. He just is – he's playing this almost almost too naturally. But, I mean, his Eddie gear, the tribute gear was so fire.
It was so fire.
It was so fire. I actually – when I first saw it, I literally – my brain goes, oh, this gear sucks. He's, like, doing, like, Riddler cosplay. And then I go, oh, wait. Oh, fuck. That's the fucking Phantom gear. Oh, this is awesome. I like an instant switch.
I did the same. Same exact thing.
And he showed
it's like pre-order. That's like, pre-order gear for WWE 2K.
That is. That's pre-order gear. Like, he literally is like, and he was saying to camera, which felt like old school wrestling. You don't get reminding me of like when you say to camera, like, remember this gear, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, look at this. Like that was fucking that. Yeah. That match was
literally like,
the storytelling was A+, right?
A+.
Yeah. A+, man.
So fun.
Dominic gave shout outs to his real father, Eddie Guerrero. he did frog splash. It was pretty nice. I will say about Dominic, I don't understand, like, how long has he wanted to be a wrestler? I don't think it could be. It's not like since he was like 5 or something, or he'd be in better shape, I think. No,
because I saw pictures wanting to be a wrestler and trying to be a wrestler.
I've seen
luchadores aren't always
he looked a little heavier. What?
Like, lucha wrestlers aren't always the jack, like, most jacked. It's the style and
the
thing.
He's, like, the opposite of jacked, though.
Yeah. Lauren, what'd you say about him? Like, something about his, like,
strength? He has the body of a child, just, like, scaled up. He's just got, like, no muscles. And, like, I didn't think I was, like, that biased against people with no muscles, but I don't know. He has a child's body.
Just put it in perspective, these are not huge men.
These are small men. Okay. But yeah, anyway, I texted you guys because I watched on a delay.
Guys, let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
I texted you guys right after and was like, am I wrong that Dominic Rollins match ruled?
No.
I was like, oh, no, it was fucking great. I was a little not like bummed, but I really wanted Mysterio's wife to get involved.
I mean, she was like maybe 15 feet away from like getting a hug from the Messiah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. Loved it.
Do y'all remember how jacked Rey Mysterio got when he was juicing? I think it was like for Lucha Underground or whenever that was or wherever he was at that point.
He came back in the Rumble like 2 years ago.
That's what it was.
Huge.
Speaking of that, Lince Dorado like came back on SmackDown and was like looking super jacked and in new gear too. I was like, whoa, what's this guy been doing? He's fucking ripped.
Huge. The anabolics.
Let's talk about the new Raw Women's Champion, Asuka, back with the title. Sasha Banks keeping the streak alive of not knowing how to retain a title.
Oh, yeah.
What is going on with Sasha not being able to retain?
I love it. I love it. I said it. I said, yo, the day when she actually retains, it's going to be such a huge moment. Like, because everybody knows that that's her thing. She doesn't retain titles. Like,
it's not a great thing, but it is true. It's like it is the only wrestler that I can think of where they're good enough to win the championship match, but you know they will lose their first title defense every time. It is very unique. I'm not sure what they're going for here with this. Asuka with the title again. I'll be honest. Asuka as a babyface, I'm not into at all.
Wow, that's crazy.
I don't know what it is. It's not like I liked her when her and Kyrie had the potions. I felt like she, but when she's like a babyface, I feel like she's. It feels like. Am I wrong? It feels a little unnatural. Like
love it. This is my favorite version of Asuka right now. I think she's having a blast. I think she could still, dude. On Raw, that Asuka lock that she was had on. Like, she's on fire, and she could pull it off as a face too. They're doing that with Shayna as well. Shayna's playing more of a face badass role. So I think it's kind of cool when you look at the landscape of the women's wrestlers, how the two biggest faces are now the two biggest heels, and now the two biggest heels are now the two biggest faces, and it's showing how dynamic this division is. Like, crazy.
For me, I think it's I always kind of place Asuka in that lineage of like the sort of classic like Japanese women wrestlers, like Bull Nakano and Asia Kong and Dump Mitsuda. Oh, what flavor? Did somebody open up something?
Bud Light.
Oh, Bud Light.
Pure Brew, duh.
Gotcha.
Pure Leaf,
But you know, like I place her in that lineage, and like all of those women were like at their best were these like fucking psycho heels. And so I like that version of Asuka better, so I definitely understand. But like, I think with like faces, I've been thinking about this. Like, it just makes more sense for a wrestler to be a heel in general because of what they're doing. Like, they're going out and fighting. Like, it's so weird for like somebody to be like in that realm and like not be a piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's way more math for them to be like, I'm honorable about this weird fight that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her and Sasha have insane chemistry in the ring. Like, Sasha put in the work when she was away, and I know she trained Joshi style, but like, she absolutely, her chemistry with Asuka, I can watch those two wrestle forever. They don't miss a beat. It's hard hitting. They had those weird finishes, and then like the last two matches that they've had have had straight clean finishes. Like, Sasha threatened that she was going to tap out Asuka, and you know that's just the wrong move. Like, don't think you're going to, because you're going to tap out. And she did two nights in a row, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, I started to understand Sasha. Like, Sasha's not one of my guys and has never been. But I started to understand her a little bit more in this match and, like, why people do like her. Some of the selling, you know, kind of finally clicked for me. Whereas, like, before, it's like she's just throwing herself around. Like, it seems like she doesn't have any control of her body. And I think she's boring. But, like, it makes a little bit more sense now after that match.
Aaron, didn't you say something about it? Was it in the thread last night? Or I thought it was something. I thought it was about Sasha. I forget what it was, though.
Sasha?
I don't know. I remember you saying something specific about something, but I'm drawing a blank now.
Sure.
But yeah, so I'm pumped for
Sasha. I think Sasha, like, her style is dangerous. Like, I think when she wrestles, like, I am scared always, and that is partially her track record. And and I also am always distracted by her wigs because I have a track record with MWMs, major wig malfunction. So it's like, I'm always like, I bite my nails because I'm afraid she's going to get hurt. She's going to hurt someone else or something's going to go wrong. Like when she and Asuka like went off the top, like onto the floor during their match on Sunday, I was like, oh no. And keep that wig on tight. You know what I mean?
You know, I think that was a part of her problem before, and I really feel like she's cleaned up her her wrestling like tremendously. Like I it's almost seamless now. Like I think she realized that in order to get to that next level, she had to up her game because it was sloppy. Like, I mean, her gear too. I mean, she brought it. I mean, she's killing it. And this, they're going to drop the titles to Nia and Shayna for sure, which is going to be fun because now you have two beasts as tag champs. And then you're going to get the Bayley-Sasha feud, which is going
to
be...
She needs to wrestle Bayley. She needs to with Bayley as her, like, Sasha? Each other's service animals. Yeah. Enough already.
The thing with Sasha is just that I've always said Sasha's, like, the biggest almost wrestler. Oh, that's all I describe her.
I know.
She's the biggest almost. I know. But I do think with a little bit of... with some good booking, they've gotten way worse people over. You know, she's got a lot of the tools, maybe not all of the tools to be amazing, but
she's got tools.
How can you like deny it now? Like what is it about her now that she's doing that you're not? That's my question. Cause I'm watching right now.
The same thing.
I don't think so.
When she gets the mic, it's not.
Come
great.
On. The way she's been recently and the way she's selling and acting in this gimmick and selling it and like, all this stuff with Bayley, I think it's on. She's never reached this level like this before.
I'm worried that her confidence now is contingent on being a team with Bayley. So when they part ways and she's like flying solo and in opposition with Bayley, I'm curious to see what happens.
Right.
Good call. I am too.
I think it's true. Whatever. First off, you're digging it, right? That's why we have like one of your guys. You're feeling it. That's all. For me, it was like, the Asuka matches and Bayley matches, like, I wish I cared about them more during SummerSlam.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the matches were good. I think Sasha can go in the ring. She has every checkbox except for, like, just that mic. She needs to have, like, one killer promo and one legit
I think
boss
we'll get it.
For years, I'm waiting for this one
I think legit we're gonna
boss
get it.
Moment. And I do think it's not all her fault. I do think it, like, look at how Vince has got. Vince won't let her hold a fucking title, you know? So, yeah.
I think it's coming, though. I think like Aaron said, like, I think this feud with Bayley is going to be the moment that it, like, comes out. You know, like, I think right. that – and if it doesn't, then I don't know what's left after that to make you believe, you know? Because
right.
I think this is the best storytelling she's ever had since NXT – this is her best main roster run, in my opinion. They look incredible with the titles.
Sasha's?
And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but as an underling for Bayley, really. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think it's not like Bayley's having fun, but I think Bayley and Sasha, they have found the best shit for them to do. They're on their best in their best zone, but it's not enough for me.
Okay.
Personally.
Fair enough. Hey, that's fine.
Is that just me?
They're being their best selves. They're living their best lives.
But I think Bayley's doing her best work, but I think Sasha is capable of more. They just got to help her out. You know what I mean? There's like, it's like at one point she was saying she was going to record a rap album, which I don't know how I feel about that, but I don't know what happened with that. And then also like she changed her theme song, but then it didn't. And then she came back with the blue and all that was awesome. But then it didn't lead to a stronger iteration of the character. I feel like it led to her being second fiddle to Bayley with this feud that never seems to happen.
Well, I think that's the whole – isn't that the story that they're pretty much telling? Like now they're into that. You know, like it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper. The announcers talk about it. They're trying to like push it along and it's never happening. And then every time you think they're going to do it, they like, oh, they're cool. Everything's fine. And then, whenever that happens, I think that's when it will be great, you know?
Sure, I think it's not going to work. I could be wrong, but the Bayley Sasha thing, I think they've teased it for so long that when it happens, it's kind of like we're way ahead of it. And I think also that and I don't have confidence in Sasha to pull off what Becky did when she turned. You know what I mean? So that's just my opinion, but I hope to be wrong, and many times I am wrong. People know.
You're looking at a champion, I think this is a good way of putting it, a champion that can't retain and a champion that's retained for like 400 something fucking days now. So just that's the feud, you know, like
it's
fuck
good.
The friendship, fuck everything. Like, you know, prove that you can, who's the better champ? Is it the more prone champion or the one that can hold it for longer and prove that they can do it on their own?
Right. Cool. I think that feud is cool. I think a more like something that would have been really interesting is that like we know Sasha and Alexa actually don't like each other in real life. So like that's something I'd want to dive in, I wanted them to dive into. All right, anyway. Moving on. This Mandy and Sonya, by the way. So I the stipulation changed. And like it was supposed to be a hair versus hair match, mm-hmm. but they're saying that Sonya, since that all their legal troubles of the guy breaking in, Sonya's lawyer didn't want her to shave her head before her trial.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
There's a lot with like prosecuting, like what's the word I'm looking for? Like there's a lot with like the sort of psychology of prosecutorial law where it's like if she looks like a different person than the person than like people think she is, that the jury is more is less likely to like feel sympathy for it. There's like a whole thing
not only that but like if this woman who is in trial this guy's in on trial or whatever and she shaved her head on TV like a week before, people would be like, that's weird. You know, your average juror would not understand.
Yeah, plus she's in Florida and she'll be a shaved head lesbian where they'll be like, oh, look at this D word, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Who cares? Totally. I mean, it's Florida. They let George Zimmerman free. So, I mean, like, yeah. I understand this thing. That being said, that match, I thought it was a good time. I like Mandy's short hair. I think it looks really good.
I think it looks really cute.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think Otis and Mandy, I dig it. I pop for it.
They're really cute together. Yeah. When I was watching, I was like, I ship these two. I know we just talked about it and they're like definitely probably not a couple in real life, but like I ship it. Like I wish.
Yo, I love that she proved that you can be in near peak physical condition and still not be able to do the worm
or lift up a table.
She was having a tough time with that table. It was like slippery.
That was pretty tough. What was the thing she was wearing? What do you call that? I was like, is that like Spanx?
It was like a wrestling singlet, wasn't it?
Right. But then it actually serves like no real purpose. You know what I mean? Like
it looks like something she would wear in Saudi Arabia due to like stipulations. Yeah,
right. That was way too tight. You have to wear a huge t-shirt in Saudi. Right.
A Garfield t-shirt, like an Alpo Garfield t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not allowed to have boobs in Saudi.
And a turtleneck underneath. Don't forget.
Yeah.
What was I saying about? Oh, Otis. I was thinking about Otis's cash-in, and I love that he has the briefcase. Because, Otis cashing in on The Fiend would be so fucking fun. You know what I mean? Like, obviously it won't be successful. But also, Fiend might just give it to Otis just to be like,
are so pure. There's nothing for me to correct.
Right? Like, Fiend might just lay down for Otis just to be like above the title. And just
I would pop so fucking hard for that. If he just comes out, he's like, yeah. And The Fiend was like, here you go, buddy. Oh my God, that would be amazing.
It's funny. What if Roman would win and Otis then cashes in on Roman and wins the title?
Yeah.
Just to get all those marks that are like, oh, of course, you're going to put the title on Roman right away as soon as he comes back with his teeth.
And I don't care about Roman winning the title over The Fiend, actually. I just care about Fiend's effect on Roman is, which is what's so fucking good. I know I'm kind of repeating myself. I'm treading old ground, but I will also say that say what you will about the WWE title, like about the significance. Oh, people are like, it looks like a toy, blah, blah, blah. There's two, you know, we always say this, but like Fiend having the title again, I immediately like him more. Like there is a power to the title, whether you like it or not, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if we apply McMahon's razor, to The Fiend and Roman.
We need a sound drop for McMahon's razor.
Yeah, like a guillotine or something.
Yeah, exactly. We need the Drew McIntyre.
The Drew McIntyre swords.
Here's my prediction based on the application of McMahon's razor. They will build Roman as this tweener-ish heel going up to, you know, whatever the blowout of this feud is. And then when he dunks him, he'll go back to Shield vest Roman as right. like a face. That's my prediction.
That's cool.
McMahon's razor.
Newman, can you just for maybe like a month or so for McMahon's razor, can you get a quick a one sentence description of what it is for people who are like, what is that? You know, since it's not to do anything.
So McMahon's razor is based on the logical principle of Occam's razor. Again, not to be confused with the authors of pain, Occam and Razor. Which says that, the simplest explanation is most likely the correct one, right? So McMahon's razor says that the least exciting idea is most likely the idea that WWE is going to go with.
Right. Yeah. But, okay, last question about SummerSlam stuff. Strowman's title reign came to an end. Would you say that was a successful title run for Strowman or what?
It's hard to say because of COVID, right? It's not really been the best environment to you can't really say compared to all other reigns with that title that it was good or bad, right? It's kind of did what he did with it during the time.
Right.
So I don't know.
Who did he wrestle?
I think it was
it's not very
not
memorable.
Good. Just think it was
who did he wrestle?
Yeah, I don't remember one match.
Beat Goldberg.
I mean, he took a dip in the swamp, in the Swamp of Destiny.
Yeah, he lost a match to The Fiend. He lost two
head.
Matches to The Fiend. I love that McMahon
Morrison
was like,
and Miz.
Yeah, he wrestled Morrison and Miz. It wasn't great for him, but I like if they keep him, if he's affected by The Fiend and they keep him with The Fiend, it's the way to go.
He didn't have the shirt. He lost the shirt. He looked awesome. New pants. I think he still needs to go to the trunks. I think that would be insane. But at least no shirt and looking in the pants with the shaved head. Really good stuff.
So staying with a couple things. Jeff Hardy, the new Intercontinental Champion. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
That's an old school reference.
Do you have a sound drop of that?
I don't know. I have to dig so deep for that.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. That was one of the least slick WWE moments. For people that know why that was, Jeff Hardy when he first came back to WWE at the cut of promo, and just normally these wrestlers they kind of go overtime. But it seemed like he went under time and then just said, all right, thanks for coming out, everybody. Enjoy the show. And then played his music on delay. I guess he's done.
Didn't he come back later on in that episode and kind of finish?
While the people were enjoying the show.
But so he beat AJ Styles for the title, which kind of shocked me. But but Jeff Hardy obviously always great IC champion. It's a really good spot for him. But Jeff Hardy was cutting a promo that was really interesting. It was maybe his first good promo in 25 years, and then they cut him off.
it was the fucking Grammys.
What happened there, Tulo?
He was like, oh, my God, dude, I fucking died watching this. He was getting so – he was like, I hope that my journey can inspire your journey. And then you can – if I can overcome things, you can overcome things too. And they just went – and he's like, all right, I'll see you all. I'll talk to you guys.
He got his
titles, paint's coming off. And he dipped into the mic and just like, oh, okay. She was like pulling the mic away as soon as the music hit. Oh my god, dude. Oh. I could just see Vince be like, cut this fucking asshole off. What the fuck is he talking about? No one gives a shit about his stuff. Get him off.
I feel like he probably got in trouble for talking about.
Oh, he'll drop that shit.
For real? In a non-kayfabe way?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Adolf fucking Hitler's on the TV behind him.
So Keith Lee debuted. We'll talk about TakeOver 30 and AEW this week, Saturday night AEW, on the bonus episode. But I guess no spoilers, but no, Keith Lee dropped the title and he debuted on Monday Night Raw and he looked a little different. Looks like Vince McMahon, if you ever want to, I just feel like if you ever need proof of the level of power that Vince McMahon has over these wrestlers, watch a guy wrestle two nights later in completely different gear than he had 2 days ago, right? When he was the champion of the other company. Keith Lee shows up looking like absolute shit. I thought. First off, he shaved his beard, and it looked
beards
worse.
Are over, but
I know. But his beard, I liked. I thought it made his face look cooler. But whatever, that's a small. Doesn't matter. Maybe he wanted to do that. I'm not sure. But he was wearing when he wrestled. He was wearing. He had. We talked literally a couple weeks ago about how Keith Lee has the optimal look, right?
Yeah.
And so he used to wear like little booty trunks, but he's a big fat guy, right?
Yeah.
But he's like fat jacked. You could tell that like he's strong. He's got a lot of big broad shoulders. Clearly is strong. You know, reminds me of like Mark Henry in the fact that he's like, he got a lot of body fat, but a ton of muscle underneath, you know?
Right.
He's got more ability than the other guys. But McMahon decided to put him in a like like what the – football, like a Under Armour girdle,
muscle
shorts,
cut off,
like Muay Thai shorts,
worst versions of Samojo shorts.
That looked really bad. Material. And then the worst looking part of his gear actually is he was wearing like, you have to look close, but obviously I was. He was wearing like little booties with like sweatbands around the like not
it was his
just,
knee
like,
pads pulled down. I think it was his knee pads pulled down.
Right. What was that?
I don't know, man. I've never been more baffled by someone coming. I thought he was wearing a skirt.
He looked terrible.
I said
he's an awesome looking dude.
We need retribution for fucking Keith Lee's fucking gear, man, and his music. And what was that, like, style number 3 WWE rock entrance music? Like, what the fuck was that? Oh, bask in his glory.
So I just want to say something. I just want to say something that's really interesting, which is, like, I felt like NXT, you could see Vince McMahon and Triple H are not working in
It's YouTube, retribution.
Right?
It's retribution.
Well, what do you mean retribution?
What is retribution?
All those wrestlers were NXT last night on Raw. I think I saw Mia Yim.
Yeah, Dijakovic is definitely
NXT.
There.
Oh, he's the big guy.
Keith Lee is a prime example of what retribution is. You get picked from NXT, you come to Raw, and this is what you get.
Do you
get shittier music. He's going to be guaranteed next Monday he comes out as Keith.
Oh.
I swear to God. And then all of a sudden you're like, no. Cause
good application. Good application of McMahon's razor.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee.
No, seriously, what is the reason? The only other reasoning I have is penis envy.
McMahon's razor?
I said the only other reason is penis envy. Like, he's like, you can't go out there with your dick all over the place. And like, you know, like, and that's it. Because he got these baggy shorts and his upper body's covered. The only thing that makes sense for retribution is that it's NXT. They don't show up on NXT, right? Why wouldn't they show up? Why, if they're showing up on Raw and SmackDown? Why
wait,
Tulo,
can
up?
I just frame what you're saying? Are you saying that that like this is a long con for retribution for Keith Lee to be like, I showed up, you made my music shit, you made me dress like a dinky little potato, and you're like, you made me come out, and it's like I was working 2 days before, and you would come up here, and then Keith Lee's like the head of retribution, and it's all about, it's like you made.
I wouldn't even say he's
shit.
The head of. I wouldn't even say he's the head of it. I just think it's like he's the example of it. What other reason would it be? I mean, Damian Priest wins the North America title, and he's popping champagne in a jacuzzi with two chicks. This guy loses the NXT title and goes up and is wearing a skirt. Like, if that's his decision and that's what he wanted to do, and he's like, hey, I want to tone my gear down. You know what, Keith Lee? Good for you. It was the wrong decision because everybody loved the way you look.
McMahon's cha-ding. Applying McMahon's razor, I would say that what you're saying is not going to happen, right?
No.
And that this is just that Vince sees these NXT guys for basically the first time as he brings them up. and he hears their music and says to whatever, whoever's the new Jimmy Johnson, I don't like it. Make it different. And he just starts tossing out everything, all the IP and good shit that these, all the goodwill that they've already, us, we were watching them at NXT, and they change it because he's not respecting what Triple H is doing. And it's really a McMahon Triple H power play to be like, you're doing a job that's like, okay. Now, they could use that. I don't think they will. I hope you're right. I like that, Tulo. It's great booking. But I think that if they use it as a story to get to use kayfabe work shoot, this is how Triple H takes over the company, which they should make it a storyline, you know?
Well, here's a good example, too, is that SummerSlam went off. SummerSlam went off without a hitch. There was no retribution.
Right.
Now you get payback. Shenanigans.
Weird
Central.
To not have retribution on SummerSlam.
Why ruin SummerSlam with retribution shit? No, honestly, every single one of those matches deserved that stage and to be clean and no problems. We got a fucking another pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. I think all hell's gonna break loose.
I think word for retribution.
Yeah, I think it's literally gonna be like all the graphics are going to, like, blow up, and it's going to be called Retribution, and, like, every match is going to be schmozzed out. Like, I think that's what – I totally think they're going to do that.
And what's next?
The booking is Keith Lee. They have Roman in there, and they have Keith Lee versus Randy. If you look at those two bookings, Keith Lee needs to look strong because he's showing up, but also they're not going to let Keith Lee pin Randy Orton right now. And Roman Reigns is just coming back strong. Having him lose, even if he doesn't eat the pin, it's like he needs to fucking look good because he just speared both of those guys, because every match is going to get ruined by retribution on Sunday. And I think people are going to be talking, and it's going to be fucking fun, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be stupid, but it's going to be fun.
Fuck it. We just had SummerSlam last weekend. I don't give a fuck about what payback is. You know, who cares?
That no one cares about. It's bonus. Right.
It's a cuck to AEW. They're doing another pay-per-view right before fucking All Out. Like, they're just cucking them, and they're just like, oh, whatever you think you were going to do on AEW, it doesn't matter because we're just about to fucking have a pay-per-view of the craziest shit ever. Well, and I hope that's what they do.
Can we have a moratorium on Nick specifically using the word cuck?
Yeah, I think
call quits on that. Yeah. Everyone else can say it. Something about the way you say it. I don't like.
I think we should take a vote on that. Newman, you want a moratorium? How do you vote on a yay or nay on Tulo not being able to use cuck?
Yay.
Okay, let's lock that in. Aaron, yay or nay on Tulo using cuck? Aaron's gone.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I'm here.
A yay or nay on Tulo being able to use cuck. Yay means he cannot use cuck on the podcast anymore.
Yeah, yay. Do not use cuck.
Tulo, you get to defend yourself here. Yay or nay, would you like to? You could right now decide that you're not allowed to use cuck anymore.
I'm
yay
fine with that. Nay.
Okay. Well, I don't have to vote.
I won't. That's fine.
Right. Rules in accordance with Robert's rules.
I'm going to vote nay. I don't like censorship. I have a right to not. I don't believe in the right to censor. All right, folks. Listen. Okay. So what were we talking about?
Don't worry.
Sammy Guevara.
Pants.
Oh, good for you.
Sammy Guevara.
All right, so. so anyway, Keith Lee, I'm just saying, he looked like a dinky little potato I think I'm basically copying that from the What We Do in the Shadows girl, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's like McGregor. You look like a stinky. Your man look like little potatoes. All right. if you don't watch that show, she's the best part of the show, I think. She's so funny, that actress. I just thought, I was like, what's going on? Keith Lee's been working. Like, I think that bringing them up the same way, when you change them like that and they were just the champion of NXT, it diminishes the importance of NXT almost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I do think that's a Triple H McMahon power play. That is a dynamic that we've kind of had confirmed by Triple H in interviews, being like, I don't run that show. And fucking Christ, man, if you're Triple H, wouldn't that drive you nuts?
Yeah.
They bring your guy up, and then he just changes, like, such minuscule things that you're like, why?
Well, it's always interesting when like AAA gets involved. AAA gets involved. They come and tow your car. Triple H gets involved. and like, remember that time he helped Kevin Owens like win the Universal title?
Yeah.
Like it was his guy. Like, and then it was like Seth was his guy. Like, welcome back. Like,
yeah.
I always find it interesting when he like chooses to pick his what? Like, oh, it's not gonna happen to KO this time. I'm gonna make sure my guy wins the title, you know. Or it's not gonna happen to Seth this time. I'm gonna make sure that I do something to help him out. Now I think it's just I don't know. We're getting worked, either we know what's going on or we don't know what's going on.
I don't think we're getting worked. I think it's all pretty. It's McMahon's razor. I think it's all pretty obvious. Last thing, let's end on one last point I have before we head over to the bonus episode.
Yes.
Let's head over to the underground, my friend.
Fuck yeah.
And I forgot what the rules are. Let me just check it out. Hold on.
Welcome everyone to Raw Underground, where there are very little rules, lots of excitement, carnage, chaos, and quite frankly, lots of things that I personally would like to see.
The least badass man I've ever heard
I know.
In my life. For a man who is actually a tremendous badass, has survived a helicopter crash. I have a hot take about the Underground, which is I do like the Underground. I'm not changing my take there. I don't love Bobby Lashley in the Underground, which I think is a big hot take, and I'll tell you why. I do love the Hurt Business T-shirt. Very cool.
I'm in.
Because if you watch the guys like Ziggler and Ivar, when they wrestle in the Underground, and like a guy like our Shayna Baszler, I like the guys who can are really go when they're in the Underground. It really works. And Bobby Lashley is, I know he's an MMA fighter, but is a little clunky in there. When he was going with Ziggler, Ziggler was doing some cool shit, but then like Bobby wasn't moving right. And I still see the value in Bobby, but if he's going to come in there and just beat everyone up, I want to see some like good wrestling and grappling and fighting in there. I want to see like Timothy Thatcher in there. I want it, right? Like Matt Riddle, obviously.
Gulak.
Right. I feel like it's not exactly what I want in there, and I thought I did, by the way. I would make the same booking mistake as Vince, and arguably it's not a mistake. He might get it together, but I think it's cool that Lashley lost and then went to the Underground to get off some steam. That's very fucking cool, but I do think it should be more. I do think Bobby should maybe get his ass kicked a little in there. It's like real fighter's zone. I know he is an MMA fighter. He's like he's undefeated, but he didn't look great. That's all.
But like, when he was an MMA fighter, right? Like, was he an MMA fighter because he was a skilled martial artist, or is he an MMA fighter because he's a fucking massive dude who can punch hard? Like,
I mean, I don't think he's does that he even good. Have he that skill? He never went to UFC. He's probably a ground and pound guy. I think I watched one of his fights before. I don't think he's particularly athletic in that way.
Right.
He's a massive, jacked-ass bodybuilder, but I thought that booking was very cool. But I just said, like, what I've been digging is, like, the guy from Viking Raiders, I didn't even know he could move. And then in the Underground, he's fucking awesome fighter, you know? So it's a cool way to shine a light on different talent in that way. And I don't know. What do you think?
I thought they nailed it in the sense that, like, they even dragged Cedric Alexander out from, like, fucking catering and fed him to Lashley,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like, I think it's an interesting way. I would love to see him use it as, like, a way for wrestlers to tune up before matches. Like, if Shayna and Nia went there together and was like, all right, like, we're getting ready for Bayley and Sasha.
Love that.
And, you know, I don't think it should be official. I don't think it needs – you know, I understand what you're saying about Bobby being a little, like, clunky and stuff, but, like, I love the idea of just him going there and being like, fuck this. I had to go out there and arm wrestle that asshole, fucking pulled that shit. I want to kick some fucking ass. There needs to be money being thrown around more.
No, like, definitely. But what I'm saying is, you know, in MMA, like the Gracies can like tap out the huge guys and stuff. Like it's a more skill-centric place. I think this is a great zone for that. So I don't want.
Yeah,
I'm worried about them like having Nia and like Big Show come in and start knocking people out.
I'm going to tell you
Yeah.
It needs Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, dude. They just need to roll through there, man. It's the only
Paul
place
Heyman
I've said
belongs
it.
In that underground so much. With the mic, he should have a fucking mic. Uh-huh. And he should, like a slime bag. They should put extra sweat on him. Just like in there. Just like a fucking... Just like the fucking like underground fight pig, you know.
Just
like,
turn him into, turn him back into like Pauly Dangerously. Put the fucking hat with the cell phone.
Ditch the tie, unbutton the shirt a little bit. Yeah. Let's get some gold chains and stuff. You know. Yeah. Oh, you think you're good enough to get it?
Obviously, I'm biased, like, but I'm loving
about
Ziggler.
Like figs, talking about figs and like over unders and like
collecting money from people. Yeah, for sure.
I love.
They got a chalkboard
I think
running the.
Awesome.
Oh, it's
Shane McMahon in the back of the chalkboard, just like trying to keep tabs.
Everything you guys said is so fucking good. Raw Underground's a blast. I love that there's just a huge guy. This guy's probably 8 feet tall. The guy who's at the door with he was so much bigger than Bobby. That guy.
I said, I made the comment. I said, how long until we get the Shane McMahon and that security guard buddy cop movie, like for the WWE Network? We're right there. They might as well do it. I love their chemistry. It's great.
Anyway, all right, we're going to head on over to the bonus episode. I think we said everything. We said, frankly, many people would say we said too much. But a couple of topics we're going to be hitting on the bonus episode, which you can listen to right now, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. $5. That's it. $5. Throw $5. You can listen to every week. We got these bonus episodes. But we're going to be talking about all about TakeOver 30. We'll talk about the new champion of NXT, Karrion Kross.
Dun, dun.
And maybe we'll give your opinion on that. You know what? Fuck it. I'll give you a little teaser. I think he stinks. All right?
That's what, like 25 cents to Dan's Venmo? At Dan Black Attack, 25 cents right now. You heard it here first, folks. For free, he stinks.
I'll give you more opinions of that. We'll talk about Damian Priest's big win, including that Instagram post that Tulo talked about. Did we like that? We'll talk about Pat McAfee's big in-ring debut. We'll talk about are we excited for Rhea Ripley versus what's her name? Gonzalez. Is there
Raquel Gonzalez.
I didn't want to say Raquel Gonzalez. They're teasing that. And we'll talk about Cody's surprise loss to Mr. Brody Lee.
Spoiler. I didn't even watch it, so I didn't even know that happened.
Oh, really? We'll talk about it. And the MJF trying to ban the paradigm shift. And
yes, I saw that.
The gimmick match that will be at All Out of Jericho versus Orange Cassidy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mimosa mayhem match. Is that cool? Is it absolutely insanely stupid? Who knows? Plus, Britt Baker pulls one of the funniest moves in recent wrestling history by giving away free dentistry for people to join her squad.
Which is malpractice, right? I think that's a student move for sure.
I wonder, you know, in a world where we all are marks, do you think Britt Baker did Roman's teeth?
There's a chance. There's a really
good chance. There's
a Pittsburgh for some veneers.
It depends on if she's a dentist. Or
I know
periodontist,
a guy.
Right?
Well, periodontists would be doing the implants. I think he has veneers, which anyone could do. Hey, can we all smile our biggest smile so I can take a screen grab of this?
I do. By the way, check out the Zoom video. I do a sick Karrion Kross impression, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Do your Karrion Kross and let's all smile with you.
It was better before. It was better before.
I had it before, but now I don't. Now I put a lot of pressure on myself.
Pull everything like down and forward. There you go.
Wait.
Okay, I'll screen grab that later. Thanks, all.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on the Patreon, patreon.com/comedianswrestling, and listen later in the week for the Cal Movie Club episode. And if you want to talk, if you're a news junkie, politics junkie, or you just want to know what's going on, check out the Dan Black Attack podcast. We, Aaron and I, are talking the regular guy news, dissecting what is QAnon, and we'll get Newman on there sometimes to hear where Newman's at. And everybody, happy Thunderdome, and
Payback is right around the corner. Next week we'll be talking about Payback.
Maybe we'll talk about that too.
Yeah, everybody, I'll see you on the Patreon, and if not, fine. Keep watching wrestling and kisses, everybody. Cheers all.
Comedians of wrestling, I listen on
Wednesday
when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.